Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Man, this week is flying by. But welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 114. Today we are joined by special guest Tyler Stevens. He is the CEO of Exergy, co-founder of Space Denver, author of Bitcoin Mining Heat Reuse. And so I am really going to look forward to picking his brain on all things mining, kind of where he thinks the industry is going to be going, anything he's looking forward to, and just what's the best way to start getting into this. So without any further ado, good morning, Tyler. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Coleman. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. A little bit of an echo on the back, but I can still hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know if it becomes a problem. I'm up in the mountains right now, but happy to chat with you guys. Honored to be on. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I have to give it out to, for our mutual friend, Rick, for putting this together. So shout out to him, for getting this taken care of. But Tyler, I would like to go ahead and start this off and tell us about a little bit about yourself and your orange pill story. What got you into Bitcoin?
Totally. What first got me into Bitcoin was seeing all the buzz online, you know, Super Bowl season last cycle, 2021, right before FTX and that whole collapse. So I literally think the first Bitcoin I bought was at $69,000 and then it only went down from there. So that was my intro. I was leaving grad school, moving to Colorado, and I was very fortunate in the sense that 20-hour drive from the Midwest, I listened to basically only Bitcoin podcasts. And as soon as I got here, I found the Denver BitDevs community, a strong, strong crew out here. And so I was fortunate in the sense that I didn't really have a shitcoin story. I found the right people to kind of educate me and hold my hand through things right from the start. And that was in 2022. So I moved here in November of 2021. And then all the while just kept attending all of our local meetups, Bitcoin and Beer, BitDevs. Like I said, we had a strong crew out here, regular 50 people attending. And then from there, just things kept rolling. I was working in the aerospace industry for a company owned by Lockheed Martin called United Launch Alliance. Lockheed Martin and Boeing conglomerate. They make all the rockets that aren't SpaceX, essentially. And so that was interesting to me. I was focused on the thermal engineering team, had a mechanical engineering background, really doing a lot of heat transfer and temperature analysis. And all the while, you know, how at least many stories for Bitcoiners, mining was one of the last things I learned about. So it took me probably 2 years to really catch the itch for mining, as I was becoming a more and more orange pilled. And finally, when I caught the itch enough, I realized, dang, these things just convert electricity into heat with 100% efficiency. And they're some of the most power dense things that exist from an electrical standpoint. And so that kind of sparked my passion for Bitcoin heat reuse. And so since January of 2024, I left that defense contractor role, ended up going to my first Bitcoin conference in Nashville, the Energy and Mining Summit 2024, and I saw Schnitzel's hash tub. I think that picture of that's pinned up top from this year too, and that really kickstarted my focus on Bitcoin heat reuse. Spent the remainder of 2024 learning, researching, chatting with folks who are doing it, what they're building, what problems they're running into, et cetera. And all the while just kind of documented that into a book. That's how that book, arose. And yeah, I'm riffing now and also helped build the Space Denver, which is our Bitcoin hub here in the Rocky Mountain West. So.
Well, awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I had a similar starting off point with Bitcoin. I bought the tippy top of 21 and then rode it all the way down. So I can definitely relate to that experience. So correct me if I'm wrong or if I misheard you, but it sounds like you just started getting into mining just last year when you created Exergy.
Yes, sir. Yep. So I left that contractor role and I created Exergy really as just an LLC to figure out what the hell I was going to be doing. So I could route stuff through that. And ultimately it kept morphing into, there's folks like, Bob, Home Bitcoin Immersion Mining, and Cade, who runs Softwarm, and, some guys up in Canada, Nicholas from Constellation Heating. And ultimately it's all these plebs and builders who ended up putting together these home heating systems powered by Hashrate. And what I realized is, you know, this doesn't really scale in the sense that there aren't really plug and play products yet. And so it really requires people that have done it and built it and know the kinks to help others do it. If you're not as technical, if you're not really a DIY guy and you don't want to be a guinea pig, like that's just the state of where we're at for getting hash rate into the home, especially if you want to reuse that heat. And so that's ultimately what I morphed Exergy into, to help folks do that, as all the while I was writing that book. But I'm also focused on the broader picture. And so I'm sure we'll talk about the heat pump movement and everything. But I'm really a big believer in the sense that we will start to see ASICs and miners developed specifically for heating infrastructure, not so much these industrial miners that have to be retrofitted. But yeah, that's Exergy.
Well, what are some of the hurdles then, that you see right now preventing these miners to start creating these heaters? Is it just efficiency, or you just can't get the chips hot enough?
Yeah, the best way I've heard it described, Scott coined this, at NEMS this year. The people that make the chips are also making the systems. So the Bitmain and MicroBT, they'll make the ASIC chips. They're super efficient. They've got that first mover advantage there. But there's no reason that they should make the firmware, the chassis, the case, the fans, the power supply, the control board. And then because they cornered the market, they get to lock it down and, you know, use their proprietary software. And technically aftermarket firmware, you have to crack secure boot. You're technically jailbreaking the machines. I don't think it's scalable for every heating system in every home that uses hash rate to require jailbroken systems. Things as simple as being able to SSH into the machine so that you can remote into it without needing a supplemental Raspberry Pi. What's another one? Brains does this. This is a good example. You can set a secondary mining pool to like a backup pool to slash drain, and that will make it work on the current Stratum block template, even when you lose internet. And why that's important is if the internet goes out, you don't want to lose heat. So little things like that, for convenience, for integration. And then also for safety, right? These things aren't UL safety certified. They don't have fire tip over protection. Again, they're designed for these data center, mining farms, mining operations, industrial use cases with operators, right? But if it's just a heating system in your utility closet, you're not going to have people like that, at least for a while on call. I think that's another big hurdle to get HVAC technicians, plumbers, hydronics guys, electricians up to speed with this stuff actually being suited for homes and businesses.
So then I just want to make sure I'm tracking here, Tyler. Right now, anybody that's retrofitted these ASIC miners to become a home heater, they're just kind of doing it themselves. They're taking it apart and just making it so it works this way. Am I following?
Correct. And there are companies that do a lot of this retrofitting for you. You know, Rickett Crypto Clubs, Altair Tech, Decentral. They do a lot of this heavy lifting, things like putting quieter fans on there, larger fans that can spin slower so it's not so loud if it's an air machine, or immersion tank systems that come with a radiator that essentially converts that liquid heat into air-based heat, and it's silent because it's the machine's submerged in immersion, things like that. So there are people that are offering, you know, heavily retrofitted kits for you, but I still think that anyone even purchasing those is essentially a guinea pig. We're in the early days. It's a good sign. I take it as a good sign. There's lots of innovation to come.
Well, I got a follow-up question with this. Are these companies putting themselves at a legal risk if they're not, like, again, if they're just retrofitting it, they haven't really passed any standardized fire or tip-over tests to prevent firing? Is that one of the hurdles that they have to clear?
That's a good question. I don't know from a legal perspective the honest answer. I know that where I live in Colorado, a lot of people are concerned, especially if you live up in the dry, high desert. Like, there are fire marshals. A friend of mine, I went to her house and I was like, okay, here's how we could integrate hash rate heating. And she asked me a very point blank question. She was like, is my fire marshal going to be cool with this? And I didn't know the answer. I think, you know, you buy a product, it's up to you to take on that risk. I'm just not sure that without those check marks that it would scale into an option that, you know, standard heating and plumbing companies offer. I don't think they'd want to offer it. And for businesses, I don't think they'd want to insure it. Like, if you thought about, say, a brewery or a distillery or a car wash or some businesses that use a lot of heat, and maybe hash rate heating is the, you know, the highest performing and cheapest, most cost effective option for them. If they can't get it insured as a system, I know you can certify UL systems after they're built. So I need to look into that more. But I do think it's worth exploring.
Okay. So is then, my question would be, how much maintenance is required with these machines? So if I had a remote cabin somewhere, where in the winter months it gets below freezing, if I just had one of these or a couple of these heaters just throughout my house or my cabin just to keep it warm, could I leave it there for 2 or 3 months without having to visit it? Or is it something you have to upkeep?
I think that's possible. It's all about having good system design. If it's an air-based system, you want filters and things like that, so dust and particulates aren't building up and clogging the machine. I had, you know, one little space heater that I retrofitted myself from an S9, and I killed a hashboard because it didn't have any filters and it sucked up dust, and that blocked all the heat sinks on one of the hashboards and it fried itself. So that is a big concern. I think immersion systems are really good at protecting themselves because they're surrounded in that bath of oil. But the trade-off is, and this is my honest opinion, I don't think immersion is really meant to scale. I don't think people want tanks of expensive non-conductive oil in their house that's prone to leaks. Hydro is probably the solution here for the most reliable and highest performing systems. But again, that goes back to the system builders and chip manufacturers. There aren't good hydro miners catered for this use case yet. The majority of hydro-cooled miners on the market are three-phase. They run off three-phase power, which no one has at their house, at least here in the United States. All the modern machines that have high hash rate require 220-volt power, which I know is the standard in Europe. That's not the standard for residential homes in the U.S., so shout out to guys like Zach Bomsta and Pivotal Plebtec that offer kits to modify power supplies so you can run them off residential outlets. Ultimately, if it's going to replace a gas heating system, you're probably going to want the high power outlet anyways. You can get that installed from an electrician. But from a reliability standpoint, I think these systems can be designed with more of that in mind. It doesn't seem to be the primary focus for the current industrial miners because, again, they do have these operators where it's their job to go and monitor system health at all times.
Okay, that makes sense. So I know you said, well, you're putting on a conference, so maybe we should spend a little time talking about that. And it's coming up pretty quick. It's the Heat Punk Summit in Denver, the 21st and 22nd of February. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I have some follow-up questions about that conference.
Certainly. So, yeah, all the while when I was exploring Bitcoin heat reuse, talking with folks, researching, reaching out to companies that I saw were doing it, I ended up just saying, okay, these guys did it that way. These guys did it this way. They told me they had this problem. They told me they had that problem. So I kind of selfishly, to help me write the book, said, hey, let's get all these people doing this in a group chat. So we have a Telegram group. You can reach out to me if you'd like to join, called the Hashrate Heat Punks. And it's a group of 50 or so people right now, completely focused on solving these problems, retrofitting these machines, even an understanding from first principles, what would we be looking for if we did have chip access to build our own machines? How do they integrate into different applications? And it's been an amazing group chat. It's where I've learned a lot. We've all been teaching each other. This is, you know, if I'm right, which I hope I am, this is an emerging sub-industry that could scale to many heating applications. And so we need to help each other out. And then with the conclusion of the book, the launch of the book, and more progress in Hashrate Heat Punks group, it's just been a goal of mine and a friend of mine, Cody Harris, who's up in Wyoming, he's the other moderator in that group, to host a conference, a summit, really. It's not so much a conference where you come and buy equipment and talk to companies, oh, hey, can I work for you? It's more so a summit in the sense that we all need to put our heads together. We're going to have people from all sides of the aisle, from HVAC engineers and plumbers that know nothing about Bitcoin, all the way to ASIC chip manufacturers from Block, their proto team. So we can really tackle this industry from both ends and say, okay, if this is true that heating systems could be powered by hash rate and there's a large market for this, how do we, as a team that has all this different experience from, you know, the people that are actually turning wrenches to the people designing the silicon, create devices that are best suited for this. And that's really the goal of the summit. We're all going to be getting together at our Bitcoin Hub in Denver. Got a lot of great speakers. I'm really looking forward to things like the business model panel. There's a lot of fun business models you could explore here when you have a digital heating system that's really just a computer that monetizes heat. You could split sats among different parties. Some sats could go to maybe your maintenance guy. You could undercut the cost of the hardware, the CapEx, and then return some of the Satoshis back to the company so they can, get their profit later on. There's a lot of fun things there. Looking forward to the firmware and pool discussion. How can we make the software better for this stuff? And then also really eager to see what we can, get out of the people making the ASIC chips themselves, Block, their proto team. They seem very open to the idea of working around designing systems that are easy to integrate into heating appliances, not so much just the industrial miners in the middle of nowhere.
When you keep saying Block, are you referring to Jack Dorsey's company, Block?
Yes. So they have an ASIC team that is called Proto. Block is the parent company. Proto is their company working on ASIC chips. And they announced this last week at the Energy and Mining Summit in Nashville that they are building 3-nanometer chips themselves, and they plan to sell these chips, which is huge for us because I'm sure many of us on this chat here have a BitAx or have seen a BitAx, but and the BitAx is cool. I love it. You can be sovereign and decentralized hash rate at home. But the real representation of the BitAx to me is the state of this crazy industry where you have to buy an industrial Chinese miner, desolder the chips from an S19 or S21, crack, basically reverse engineer how to communicate with it with Chinese documentation that is not supplied. And then you have to figure out how to design an open source hashboard around that and communicate with it. And that's just the spitting image of the state of the industry where it's not scalable or feasible to go and design other systems with other applications. So that is the Block Proto mission. They also plan, I think, to make hash boards and control boards and firmware themselves as well. But they seem very interested in catering to this market, which I'm absolutely thrilled about.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. So then which industry do you think has the most to gain from, you know, investing resources and time into this? Is it the plumbers, the electricians, the, you know, your HVAC? Who do you think has the most to gain from it?
Certainly. So the research I've done on where this makes a good fit, it's not every heating system, and I want to make that clear. So where I live in Denver, you know, it's the biggest city in Colorado, we have cheap natural gas heat, and it comes out to the equivalent of 3 cent power from a kilowatt perspective. You could convert the cost per MCF of gas into a cost per kilowatt equivalent. It's very cheap, meaning if you're running an electric heater, even with Bitcoin rewards, you can't really compete with 3 cent heat. But up in the high altitude mountains where I am right now in the Rocky Mountains, there are lots of people that don't have natural gas lines drilled through the granite. And so they have propane tanks in their front yard. And the propane is around the same cost equivalent on a dollar per kilowatt basis as the electricity. It's around 13, 14 cents. So the electric cost is 13, 14 cents and the propane heat is around the same. But if you switch from propane to hash rate, you're also getting Bitcoin. So why would you not pay the same for heat and also stack non-KYC sats? So I think the tradesmen that cater to these areas around the world where hash rate heating is actually the most economical and high performance heating method, that's where we'll really start to see a new offering from these businesses. And it's a way to differentiate yourself, right? I mean, the heating industry has been pretty polished and standardized for 100 years. There's not much innovation going on. And so to have a new offering where you could come in and say, oh, by the way, I can come into your town here and save you 50% on your heating bill. And then they tell their neighbor and you end up servicing the whole community. That's what I'm most excited about.
That's very interesting. I never thought about it like that and just scaling. I have a listener question for you, Tyler. Someone said that they're going to be putting in a pool next year. Which company would you recommend to design the heating system?
I would take a look at Constellation Heating. It's founded by a guy named Nicholas Druin. He's up in Canada, and he has done a lot of great work with this retrofitting. He's made an immersion tank that fits two miners, and it is actually designed to be as simple as possible to run. It's designed to look just like a pool heater. It's weatherproof. You can leave it outside. It has a little screen on the front of it where he talks through LuxOS is the firmware on the machines that he runs. And so he's designed a nice like interface, so to speak, where you enter a Bitcoin address. It's very easy and user intuitive. And then it has heating modes designed for the pool. You can do maximum heat. You can tell it a target temperature. And the miners will actually ramp up and down to modulate and keep the pool at the correct temperature. So he's done a lot of that engineering. That's a great system, Constellation Heating. And he's targeting that exact market.
Do you know, kind of off the top of your head, how much more expensive it is to go ahead and heat your pool with a heater versus just natural gas? Just, again, not saying that someone has a really cheap source of natural gas, but just kind of across the nation at an average?
I don't know on average. I need to get better polished on this. I do have the tools to quickly, you know, digest that for people if they just give me essentially their natural gas cost. If you looked at your utility bill and your electric rate, and I can help run those numbers. That's something I'm calling the heat audit, because it is kind of an additional step, right? If you're just installing a normal heating system, it's pretty standard. It's like, okay, I need a new furnace or I need a new boiler. But with this new option, as I outlined previously, it doesn't make sense for everybody. That's not my claim, but it makes sense for some. And if you can find a community, an area in the U.S. where it does make perfect sense, then you know it's scalable in that town or that village or whatever it is. That's something I'm actually still working on, is creating kind of like a map across the U.S. That's where I'm based. But I'd love to have it elsewhere throughout the world, where it's kind of a map of energy prices, gas and electric, and also temperature. Because if you think about this, Bitcoin miners are expensive. They have a high capex. They're computers, right? And so you want a high duty cycle. You want to need a lot of heat for it to also make sense. The two things are essentially, you need your energy costs to make sense, that relationship between the alternative source and the electric rate. But you also want to actually need the heat enough for it to pay itself off. And so if you only need heat 2 months out of the year, then maybe it's not a good fit for you, because, oh, maybe it'll save you 50% when it's running.
Can anybody else hear Tyler right now?
We're on example, which I'm out. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Tyler.
Okay. I was just saying, up at high altitude here in Colorado where I am, people will use heat 10 months out of the year. Just because it's a dry climate, there's not much humidity. It stays cold up at high altitude. So having a high duty cycle really helps further sell the case for these machines, because they pay themselves off quick and they offset a lot of your heat.
One of the things I'm looking at, I live in the Northeast, is I'm looking at an immersion system. I'm finishing up my basement right now, so I'm looking at an immersion system with essentially like a valve to switch between going out to heat my pool water, and I don't know if it'll be sufficient to fully heat the pool. But just putting a loop in between the pump and the actual heater that I have out there, to like supplement it. And then the other side of the valve for winter time, since I close up my pool, in the winter time, would be just to heat my basement. You know, my basement doesn't get, super cold, you know, but cold enough, that like, I don't think my kids will want to play down there in the winter. So the hope is, You know, if I just did it for the pool, it doesn't really make sense, right? Like, it'd take me forever to recoup. But by kind of being able to switch back and forth between those two systems, I should be able to, I think, keep them running and, offset those costs. So, might be something else worth looking at or exploring for like those kind of dual use, type systems.
100%. I love that idea. You're getting more use case. You're getting the higher duty cycle, like I was just talking about. I think Nicholas, his Constellation system, he even offers an option with a valve that switches when you command it from the system, that can send that hot loop to, you know, a radiator in the house or whatever it may be. So you convert that liquid heat into air heat, and then it's sent somewhere else. It could be your basement. It could just be a dry cooler outside. Some people have cheap enough power where you can mine full time, and it's essentially just a mining operation running at your home. And then when you reuse the heat, you're just saving even more money, but you can also be profitable full time. So love that idea.
Yeah, I'll take a look at them. I was looking to like Frankenstein some fog hashing stuff together, but I'll take a look at that brand there, Constellation.
Hey, Tyler, how far away are we, if you had to guesstimate, from these Bitcoin miners being intentionally being designed as dual purpose heaters?
I think we're starting to see just the beginning of it. Watts Miner released a miner called the M64 that's actually not even on their website. They don't market it. I posted a picture of it. There was one in Nashville that Ronan Miner brought, Neil. And it has 80 degrees Celsius outlet temperature of the fluid, so it's designed to run hotter on purpose for better heat reuse. There are certain heating applications. You know, the hotter the fluid is, the quicker you can warm things up. It also is single phase, so it's the only hydro miner that I know of that is designed to run off single phase, which is more common in businesses and residential applications. The challenge here, though, is they designed that for it's also a standard U form factor, the hydro miner, so it looks kind of like a server rack, which is really good for future proofing. If you had a system in your house and you knew this was kind of the heating element, this M64, and then 5-7 years later you want to upgrade to one that has more efficient hash rate, you can just swap that in and keep the rest of your system intact. But I think they designed that for their subsidiary company. They have like a daughter company called HeatCore, which is essentially like server racks, boilers essentially. They're digital boilers that can be scaled up in series. And that's what I think is used in the Finland Marathon project with District Heat. And they heat that whole town of like 80,000 applications in Finland. So that one, because it's that server form factor, I don't view it so much as like, it's not a water heater shape. It's not designed so your standard plumber would know exactly how to just set that thing up. We haven't seen them in the form factors and shapes and intentional designs for home use yet, but that is the beginning of what I see as a change in the focus from these system manufacturers right now. And I think a big thing to get them to start paying more attention is just ringing the bell of how big this potential market is. And so I did run some of those numbers. They're in my book, which is super fascinating to me. Comfort heat is what's defined as low grade heat, meaning it's not boiling fluids, but it's just like your HVAC and your hot water tank in your house and being comfortable, right? Just water, hot water, hot air to keep us warm and cozy. That is a 250 times larger market than the entire Bitcoin mining network. So that's 42,000 terawatt hours a year for comfort heat. The Bitcoin network is 175 terawatt hours. And so if just 1% of comfort heat was converted to hash rate with the current average efficiency, you would triple the network hash rate to over 3 zettahash. So it's a huge potential market. And obviously the low-hanging fruit is heating systems that are already electric. There are people that don't have any infrastructure for gas heat at all, and they're just using electric-resistive heaters, essentially Bitcoin miners that don't do anything. So I think the market's there. We just need to advocate for it.
No, that's crazy. Yomar, I know you have your hand up, but before I go over to you, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo, blacksheepammo.com. Punch Plate, we talk about it all the time. Stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Don't leave it on paper. Check them out at punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use our code BTCVETS. Get 5% off your order. Pay with Bitcoin peer-to-peer. Get an additional 10% off. So 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. Get there early, everybody. This is going to be a phenomenal conference. July 1st is when the first pre-conference activities take place, and they go all the way until the 6th. Get your tickets and your lodging at bitcoinalaska.org. And last but not least, again, treat your Bitcoin as if it's worth 10 times what it is today. Get yourself a cold card hardware wallet. We have a link up in the nest. If we can start getting enough people using our link, we'll start offering a unique discount code. So if you know anybody that needs to get a new hardware wallet, get a cold card hardware wallet at the link above. So go ahead, Eomar.
Yeah, I missed the beginning. So has your book been released yet? Like I went to the Googled around and I'm on the Brains page, but I'm not seeing it. So like, is it still pending release or, and if so, do you have like a release date for it?
I'm driving through a tunnel quick. Can you guys hear me? I should be out in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yes, it has been announced and released. I handed out physical copies in Nashville last week. I know that they're working quickly to get it on the Brains website. And then it will also be on Amazon as well. And on the Brains website, they'll also have a free PDF to download. I know so people can just download it and then take a look at everything that's in there.
Awesome. I'll keep an eye out for it then. I still hate PDF books, so I'll wait and probably buy it. So.
Hey, Tyler, if you're speaking, we can't hear you, sir. Well, I think Tyler gets out of that tunnel and gets back to signal. I do want to say thank you to the listeners who are tuning in right now. Just as a reminder, we do have that little chat box in the bottom right
now. It should be there shortly in the coming week or so.
We just heard your last couple of words there, Tyler. But I do want to just say, if you have any questions for Tyler, feel free to go ahead and use that chat box. Go ahead and put your questions in there. And if everybody could, just go to the top of your screen and retweet this link. Let's make sure we get some more listeners in here. This way, again, help our mission. But Tyler, I do want to ask you about the Space Denver. What lessons did you learn from starting that space? Is there anything you do differently? And if you can, explain some of the funding and corporate structure you used to start something like this. I think we lost Tyler.
Eaten by the tunnel.
That's okay. We'll get him back up here in a minute. Let's see, is that him requesting? There we go. I've got him requesting right now, so hopefully he gets back up here pretty quick.
Sorry about that. Yep, I just got out of the tunnel. Was the question about the space?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what lessons you learned from starting the space? Would you do anything differently? And if you could, explain the funding and corporate structure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you asked this. It's actually, I was on a walk yesterday during lunch around the building, just laughing to myself with some of the other guys. It's amazing we were able to pull it off. It's an incredible thing we were able to do. So essentially, I said at the beginning of the chat, we have a very strong Bitcoin community here in Colorado. We had regularly over 50 people attending our BitDevs meetup monthly, and sometimes even more at, you know, a more casual meetup called Bitcoin and Beer, where we just meet at a brewery and chat. And so this was really the brainchild of Eric Yakes, author of the Seventh Property, and Zach Wishler, who works at Casa and ran BitDevs. And they said, you know, we have such a strong crew. Why don't we try to do something like a Bitcoin hub of our own out here, where we can have more meetups and more education and something weekly and really make an impact in our local community? We can offer co-working for all the Bitcoin builders and people working on Bitcoin projects across the Rocky Mountain Front Range. And this was around September of 2023 that the idea started. But we realized we didn't have a company to go out and sponsor the whole thing or buy a building or rent a building. And nor did any of us have the resources to do it ourselves. And so we spent the better part of a year, really just structuring how we think this would make sense, how we could pull it off. And ultimately what that turned into was a member run structure, a governance structure, where we have a board of directors that's elected each year by the members, and membership dues model. And ultimately, once we felt like we had a polished enough structure to pitch it to our community, we hosted a founding event night. This was in April of 2024.
I think we lost you again, Tyler. Can anybody else hear Tyler right now, or is it just me?
No, I don't hear him either.
Make sure we ask him about his chili and bean preference.
He seems like a smart guy. I'm sure he's going to want beans in his chili.
Hey, we know what? We're going to put this to a test. We were talking in the Bitcoin group chat, or sorry, Bitcoin group chat, the Alaska group chat. And at Bitcoin Alaska, it sounds like there's going to be a chili cook-off. So if you're on the fence about going to Bitcoin Alaska, I think there are three different chilies that are going to be made during that conference. So you might want to get out there. I think we're debating on doing it before or after the cruise. Having 100 Bitcoiners on that boat after we all had chili the night before might not be the smartest thing. So we might have to change the date we do the cruise or the cook-off.
I'm sure they'll all be instantly sick after eating the Fritos in your chili, so it might be good by the time the cruise starts.
I don't think so. I'm telling you, Omar, you have to put Fritos in your chili one time. Remove the beans, add a couple Fritos, and it's delicious.
It's like telling me to put some like Ethereum in my stack or something. It just sounds unnatural and disgusting.
It is unnatural, but did you just see Trump? His company is starting a Bitcoin ETF.
Is it? I did not see that.
Yeah, I just saw some news break about that.
I see Tyler's back down at the bottom. If you could bring him up.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know why I just had to rejoin, and I should have good enough connection. So, yeah, I appreciate that. So essentially we pitched this governed structure and model to our community. And on a founding event night in April, we established a block height, and we had everyone pitch into their first donation to our treasury. We started this treasury. And anyone that donated was eligible to vote. So we held nominations and an election process for the first board, the inaugural board, at this April founding night. We had no building yet. We were selling vaporware. We were selling an idea. And from April through October, we essentially had monthly supporters who are helping us build this treasury so that we could approach a building owner with enough money in the bank to go and actually rent and pull this off. And so we slowly built out. I think we started with like 30 founding members on that event, on that founding night, where people were just like, here, take some money, I'll contribute monthly. We would still get together without the building and do community activities to get to know each other better from April until October. Things like camping trips and going to the Rockies games, baseball games and things like that, hikes and whatnot, meeting up for dinner together, getting to know each other and our spouses more. So that's what we were focused on, really just building this treasury. We approached some companies to get some founding support. So we had four founding sponsors that essentially were giving us grants. That's Fetty, Casa, Unchained, and Compass Mining. And they really helped kickstart our treasury. And come October of 2024, we found a building owner and were able to structure a model where we could pay rent and really get this thing going. We now have nearly 80 members. I think we're at 79 members. They pay monthly dues, and we host weekly educational events. So every Thursday, there's an educational event open to the public. We host some private member events and things like that. And the Heat Punk Summit will be our first two-day mini conference that I'm really excited about. So that's really the story of the space. It was a grassroots movement. It's still grassroots to this day. Our idea is that every year, every April now, we'll have this election process where anyone, if you want to get involved and really contribute, you can run and be nominated, and we'll have that election process. And we want this to live on without the nine of us that are currently on the board as is.
Now, that's amazing. I do have a couple questions for you. Was there a limit for the amount of money that needed to be donated to get a vote? And did the amount of money donated, if you donated $10 versus $100, did the $100 donation get more votes?
I'm trying to remember here. I think we structured it so we knew, like, right now our membership dues are what I think is low. It's $150 a month. You have access to this beautiful building 24/7. Back then, I think we were charging $125 a month. So we knew we would want to be around there for membership dues. We would take donations, supporter donations below that, but that was the amount to be considered like a founding member, where you were able to run and nominate and vote and be eligible for nominations as well. And now those founding members, they live on, they have a plaque on our wall. And also the board of directors does not get away. We don't get anything out of this for free. We're not taking compensation right now. We're not in a financial position to do so. All of us that help run this organization basically is a part-time job. We all still pay dues. So, it's very level and flat in that sense.
What amenities do you have at Space Denver to help entice people? Because if it's open 24/7, there has to be something at night that people want.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's really crashed there yet. But all of our members have an access code to the building so they can get in whenever. When you're there, it's really set up nicely, with an event side that works for co-working during the day. We have 15 or so like rolling desks and chairs that we lay out, but they're very easy to move out of the way. We've built out a stage in that room too for anyone coming to the Heat Punk Summit, they'll see. So it fits nicely too. Actually, we can fit 110 chairs in there for presentations, good size. We've got an audio visual room. We're going to build out a podcast studio. There's also a really nice lounge side where I like to work because of the bright light during the day, big windows, glass windows, and then, beautiful kitchens. The building owner prior to us was actually a marketing firm for culinary content. So they would record a lot of cooking content in these beautifully redone kitchens. We've done things like chef made, lunches for members and things like that. We had just a great member event the other week with Caitlin Long after she sued the Fed at the 10th Circuit Court in Denver, for Custodia. She came and had lunch with our members and gave a little debrief. And then upstairs, there are office space. That's technically not part of our lease yet. And that's actually a good thing right now. The landlord is actually one of our members. He's a Bitcoiner and he's a big supporter of our efforts. It was kind of a match made in heaven there. And so us not having the upstairs is really helpful in the sense that as we grow to being in the green and running this operation, we just don't have as much overhead right now. But if you do want a private office up there, there are 12 private office spots. And right now those are supplemental through him. So it's not included in your membership dues, but we do hope to expand to that, when we're ready.
Well, that's fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. We do have Bob and Shane up here on the stage. So good morning, gentlemen. Did you have any questions for Tyler?
Hey, morning, everybody. Tyler, I got to actually meet Tyler up at the Mining Summit last week on Thursday, where he was signing his books, and got one for myself. Started it a little bit, and got to tell you guys, this is something that just pours more and more optimism into, you know, Bitcoin. Having people like this that have gone out and done the research and quantified where we can start to use more and more hash power to secure the network. It's phenomenal. I am just more impressed by, you know, people in the space. And Tyler is obviously one of those guys that's done the diligence, man. Really, what a pleasure to meet you and have you out here on Bitcoin Veterans. Probably have need to get you on the Tuesday night show as well at some point here in the near future. So, I'll be in touch, but man, you guys keep doing what you're doing. Phenomenal space this morning and every day. And Tyler, you know, that book, I'm looking forward to getting through it. It's not a long book, guys. And, if you haven't picked it up yet, it is, it's going to be a fantastic read.
Thanks for the kind words, Shane. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was great to meet. And I hope we can encourage others to really bring hash rate back home. You know, I think the story is so fun to lay out. I mean, mining started literally on computers at home, and then it transitioned into this industrial game where you have to have cheap energy and, you know, a large amount of capital to get
Hey, Tyler, you're really going, going in and out there.
All right. It's just the
moment. Yeah, we might have to.
I can't really hear him, but I think what he was saying, like, is like the pieces I got, in case anybody else could hear less than me, was that, like, it's interesting to see it go from, you know, people running, mining on a computer, like a laptop back in the day, to the industrial size, like, corporations. And then now, hopefully pivoting back towards, you know, mining at home. This time, obviously with added usage on top of it, you know, reusing that heat. I agree. I think that's awesome. I think that's the way it's going to go. You know, I think it'll be easier for those that have, you know, you know, for me personally, I'm looking to take advantage of the system. You know, I live in a state that has like incentives for like solar and stuff like that. So I'm looking to go slap some of that on my roof, take some of the government money back, you know, the money they stole from me back, and then use that to supplement, you know, heating with, Bitcoin. So, you know, look for ways that you can take advantage of the system. You know, there's some opportunities out there for sure.
Yeah, great summary. If you guys can hear me, that's exactly what I was trying to say. And I think the direct utility benefit of reusing that heat is the key here, because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to mine at home just for Bitcoin. And we know it's this competition is never ending. I'm trying to find cheaper resources. But if you're able to just reuse that heat as a direct utility benefit, it offers something useful to you, and then you can also help the Bitcoin network and also offset costs. It's just a matter, you know, the best of both worlds. All the incentives are aligned.
Yeah, I think, and as again, technology as it scales becomes easier, more efficient, and we're just scratching the surface of this, like Tyler had mentioned. So again, in 2 to 3 years, it wouldn't be surprising if we get this. So it's very efficient for everybody to just plug one in their home. That wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. So Tyler, we are getting to the top of the hour. We'll go ahead and start wrapping things up. One final question I had for you, actually two, listener question. Are you going to be selling any of your, we lost him again. I think he's right here. Let's see if we can get him back up. Hey, Tyler, are you going to be selling any of your books at the Heat Punk Summit in Denver? No, I think we lost him again. Dang it. Oh, well. Hopefully he gets back on. We can get some final words. If you guys haven't, though, go follow him at Tyler. I think it's Tyler K. Stevens. This is his X handle. He's got a lot of good information. If you're in the Denver area, I would definitely go check out that space. Go check out Space Denver and get one of his books. Again, I'm very fascinated with the mining sector and the potential. And I really don't think we've even come close to the full potential of what it's going to do. And I think in another 5 to 10 years, it's going to be completely unrecognizable from what it is today. So I'm really looking forward to that and how it's going to affect society in a meaningful and positive way. Did anybody look up that Trump Bitcoin ETF that was just launched or just made public today? Anybody dig into that?
Yeah, it looks like they're offering a few different ones. But there is a Bitcoin plus, one, which, you know, maybe the name implies that the ETF will have more than Bitcoin in it. So we'll have to see what that looks like.
Yeah, Bitcoin plus American cryptos.
I see Tyler back down there waving his hand, so I don't know if you could bring him back up.
I just tried to. Oh, I hear him.
Hey, can you guys hear me now? That was not my connection. That was my time limit on Twitter because I try to not spend too much time and my phone booted me off my iPhone time limit. We will have copies of the book for everyone for free at the Heat Punk Summit, so make sure to grab a copy if you can make it out there. I'd love to have you guys. I think there's 10 or 20 tickets left, so it's filling up. I've got 120 people confirmed. It's going to be a fantastic event. We will record all that content. Don't think we're going to live stream it, but we'll make sure to get it out afterwards, all the great discussions. And I'm most eager to see, you know, what is the general takeaway? What is our call to action as a community following this summit, getting people together in person, the release of the book? What can we start chipping away at to make this easier and scale into more homes and heating applications? So definitely looking forward to that.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Spaces was giving me, it looked like it crashed on my end. So just making sure we didn't lose the space. So that's awesome that you'll have it there for sale. And it looks like you got a couple tickets left. One final question I have for you, Tyler, is what is something that you're looking forward to in the near term in the Bitcoin mining heating?
I'm really looking forward to the chips from the Proto Block team. what's possible once we have that and we have that support from, because really, you know, making, and shout out to the 256 Foundation, which runs out of Bitcoin Park, that nonprofit focused on open source mining. They're working on an open source hashboard, control board, firmware, and mining pool that's easy to set up for plug and play systems at home. But the one thing that us plebs cannot do is go spend $100 million and spin up a silicon fabrication and design an ASIC. And so having a company like Proto that really is going to offer the tools and resources that are too out of reach for us and really offer documentation and support so that we can go and build these systems, that's what I'm most excited about. I cannot wait for the day where there's a water heater at Home Depot that maybe it doesn't even say Bitcoin on it. It just says digital heater. You got to connect it to Wi-Fi, and maybe it undercuts the cost of all the other ones, and you plug it in and you get some of the sats and the company gets some of the sats. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. I hope it happens in short order.
Hey, it looks like we're having connection issues again, Tyler. So really quick, what's the best way that our listeners can go ahead and support you and your work?
Yeah, sorry about all the connection issues, guys. I'm up in the mountains. But the best way you can just support us is go to denver.space. That's our Bitcoin hub, the space in Denver, and see anything we're doing. We're going to host a lot of events and educational meetups open to the public. And if you want to join and support us, we'd love to have you. We still are taking on new members. That's the best way to do that. And if you want to follow anything that I'm working on, just go to my personal website, which is tylerstevens.me. You'll see the book there. It'll link to what I'm working on at the space and what I'm working on with Exergy and those projects. So, yeah, please reach out if you have any questions. We'd be happy to have a chat or a call with any one of you guys if you're curious about heating your home or business with Hashrate. And if you want to be involved, you're in the area, or even want to support the space from afar, we'd love to have you.
Well, excellent. Again, Tyler, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, answering my questions and the listener questions. And we'll have to get you back on, probably in the summertime, see how things are going and, see, what improvements have been made to the, home heating sector with Bitcoin mining.
Would absolutely love to. I appreciate you guys for having me on. Always love chatting about Hashrate heating and Bitcoin community. It really has made an impact in all of our lives. So gotta keep spreading the word.
100%. Thank you so much, sir. You enjoy, drive safe. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Well, that was Tyler Stevens, everybody. I really enjoyed that conversation. If you're in the Denver area or you're going to go over to, the conference that he's putting on the 21st and 22nd, make sure you drop some pictures, tag us. I'd like to see some of it. And if you get any books, from him, let's go ahead and drop it and tag us in there. I'd like to go ahead and see, how big of a presence the Bitcoin veterans will have there. I know there's a couple BBs that should be going. But Shane, Omar, Bob, what'd you guys think of the conversation today?
It's interesting. You know, that's, you know, like I said a few times, like it's something that, is of direct interest to me. You know, I'm still working on, framing things out down there, but, you know, pretty soon I'll be reaching out to an electrician and, part of that will be to, you know, get everything in place for, you know, Bitcoin heater. So, definitely a area that is of interest to me, and it really does like, make sense, I think, in terms of the, like the finances and stuff, you know, because like you also have to think too, and this goes for the same with like solar, right? Like as inflation continues, like the prices of things are just going to go up, you know, like, so like I look at these like as like investments that are, you know, it's going to cost me whatever it costs me now. And then, you know, because especially with like the solar energy and stuff like that to couple with the Bitcoin mining, it just kind of locks it in, right? So I don't have to keep paying for higher electricity or gas costs, as, we continue to inflate, our currency away. So, definitely like some interesting routes that you can go there, with it. So I'm excited to, I'm going to have to remember to keep checking on, the Brains website to look for this book, so I can buy it.
Or just go to one of the meetups and get it signed by them. get out of your space, Yomar. Come join us at Bitcoin Alaska.
I like hiding in my my office over here.
Bob or Shane, do you guys have anything you wanted to hit on or touch?
I was just going to say it's great to have someone like him on. I will say in the past, I had mined and probably should have just bought Bitcoin. It is a hard thing to do, but if you have, some of these other use cases, obviously the heat that comes off of it can be useful. And so it doesn't always have to be, you know, what's your return on investment right away. You can, have the application of heating and, get Bitcoin. I think it makes me think about things a little bit differently. So, good space today.
Yeah, I think right now the argument's made, it's just more for Bitcoin maximalists, right? It's not really quite efficient yet. It's still pretty buggy, and it sounds like there's a lot of maintenance and upkeep, and there's a little bit of a risk, especially with the fire aspect he was talking about. I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from doing it, but I think we're still a little ways away, but I think that time horizon is a lot shorter than what most people may suspect. So I do think in a couple of years it'll be pretty mainstream and easily viable for people to go ahead and plug them in heat.
Yeah, I'd kind of piggyback this on the conversation that we had with Ashton Forbes the other night. The amount of technology that is starting to rear its head around the planet because of things that are coming out, and obviously an empire that's dying because of fiat. When you start to understand where we're headed as a species and that we are starting to master electricity, where, you know, we may never have had this type of technology where it's from zero point or the ether or whatever you want to call it. This really presents a unique opportunity for human beings to revolutionize. And this isn't going to be done, you know, over the course of 50, 60 years. A lot of times when you get a dump in terms of open source type of technology that has been hidden, that people have been working on since possibly the 1950s. This gives us a real chance to start implementing this into our everyday lives. And I am just super excited because of guys like Tyler to see where, you know, Bitcoiners specifically, like Bitcoiners are taking people, and where, you know, they see innovation and they see the, you know, a better horizon. We've got literally people who are billionaires and are going to be trillionaires through Bitcoin that are reinvesting in people like Tyler and these initiatives and figuring all of these things out. So, I mean, if it's ever a time to just be bullish on layer zero for where we're headed as a species, I think it's now. Obviously a big fight ahead of us, but at the same time, you know, when you have the underlying asset that's going to define humanity possibly for the next 2000 years, that's just, you know, you got to think what an opportunity, and to be at the ground level of this, you know, with guys like this in the space. And I, you know, all the credit to everybody that comes in here and puts in all the work behind Bitcoin veterans every day. I am super bullish and just extremely excited for where this is going, and appreciate everybody making this happen, getting the word out to the masses. You guys are incredible. So, great job.
Absolutely. I got a question for you, Shane. Have we ever had a video podcast that got as many views as the Ashton Forbes one? It has over 15,000 views.
Yeah, we had over 10,000 live, and that was a combination. I think Bitcoin Veterans had about 4 and some change, and he had 6 and some change. 6,000. And so, you know, I haven't gone back and seen it this morning, but no, not even close. I think 2000 is about, you know, where we're, you know, where we kind of leveled out in terms of live viewers. Sometimes we'll get up to 5,000 on a podcast, depending on who's on. That was a huge night, and, you know, very, you know, gracious of Ashton Alonis's time and his expertise. I think this is something that, you know, if you guys are starting to understand, people are waking up, and people are waking up to the idea that there's a lot that's been developed behind the scenes that we're now becoming aware of. And, you know, as decentralization happens because of empires, that this type of technology is going to, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It's just like Bitcoin, you know, you can, it's for you and it's for your enemies at the same time. I think, you know, with the right incentive structure, because this becomes a name economy, you know, these type of things, these type of events where we have 10,000 plus is just the beginning, fellas. I mean, we're what, a year and a half into Bitcoin Veterans. We've got two shows. We're going to be expanding to a third later this year. And, boy, I mean, the guests are just absolutely exceptional. So incredible, incredible to be in the presence of such greatness.
Yeah. And that goes out to everybody listening here. All that goes out to y'all for supporting us and tuning in. Again, it would just be the three or four of us up here every day if it wasn't for y'all. So it does mean a lot to me. And I'm sure it means the exact same to everybody else up here. So thank you very much. I think we'll go ahead and wrap right here. I was very tempted to pick Shane's brain on the, kind of the findings that have been going over the last couple of days. Shane, are you going to be able to join us tomorrow to talk about that a bit, or do you want to discuss it right now?
Yeah, I'll make time, man. If you want me to come in, and specifically the findings of Ashton Forbes.
Yeah, Ashton Forbes, but also just kind of what's going on with the USAID and what all the money and how what we've been saying for so long is just being proven to be truthful.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. I'm here for all of that. I will see you guys tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and do that, because there's no way we could keep that to 10, 15 minutes. So let's go ahead and dive in that tomorrow show, because I'd really like to get your perspective and views on things. Cause it's crazy. And it feels like it's been a month since Trump's been in office, but it's only been a little over 2 weeks. it's crazy the stuff that's going on. Like there's days when like nothing happens, and there's days where decades go by, and right now I think we're in the days and decades part. So it's crazy. So, yeah, let's go ahead and we'll wrap up the space now. Again, thank you everybody who tuned in. I really do appreciate it. And I do want to again say thank you to Tyler for coming on. I really enjoyed this conversation. If you missed that Ashton Forbes, space, there's a link up in the nest. Go to Spotify Fountain. You can find it there as well. So you can go for your walk, have some bone broth, and you can listen to us, outside. But that's all I have. Shane, Yomer, Bob, thank you, gentlemen. And I will see you all tomorrow morning. But do not shitcoin. It's like running on a treadmill and expecting to get somewhere.